Dear all, today we will talk about God's commands, and when we talk about the words in the Bible, we know that the Bible has authority. So we know that there are certain consequences that the Bible says. But the Bible also has certain commands for us. So if it's commands, then as the chosen people of God, we need to rethink again the meaning of the Bible. Perhaps in this world, perhaps there's things we like and things that benefit us. We may want to accept, but we may not be happy in our hearts. But as we come before God to receive His word, we cannot be unhappy, because the Bible tells us we should be cheerful to accept God's word. So then we have a struggle, because not everything we can do it, and not everything we may not always like commands, because this is human nature. Especially, the Bible tells us to rejoice always. Is that a command? It is a command. So when we hear this, then we wonder, how can we rejoice? How can we control our hearts? So when it concerns praise and joy, how can you do it? Of course, we need the Holy Spirit, but the meaning of the Holy Spirit, in other words, is we cannot do things in a superficial way, but we must do it from our heart. So how? So the commands of God in the Bible, what do we do with them? If we think we cannot control our heart, and we read certain verses, do not just simply say that you need to rejoice. But there are other verses, like there are verses to say that I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. So this is not a command, but sometimes when we read this verse, we will feel it will take very long for us to do certain things. So when we cannot do certain things, in our heart, we will slightly reject those words and verses in the Bible. And so we may just put aside these words of God, and we may think that perhaps one day, if we can do it, then we revisit these verses. If that's the case, then the word of God will lose its authority in our hearts. Or we may even reject God's word. So when this is slightly in our thoughts and our heart and mind, when we reject God's word, then we have this amazing problem. Because we rejected the richness, abundance, and the healing power, and the power to change us within His word. For example, God asks us to rejoice always and pray always and give thanks at all times. And when we cannot do that, and when we cannot be encouraged because of this verse, then we will start to put this aside, or we will detest, or we will drift from this word. And from here, we know problem has already started. So God also will convict us on things that have gone wrong. Sometimes we cannot find the grace to submit to God, but must we wait till grace comes? And must we wait till our heart is better, then we can receive the word of God? I mean, grace comes so that we can submit to God, so that we can rely on God to submit. But the moment we see the word of God, the verse in the Bible, if we immediately see that we cannot do it, then we will not even pursue in carrying out God's word. So that's a problem. So we have already slightly rejected God's word. It didn't treat God's word in its rightful authority. So first, the Bible has its authority, and within it there is commands. So let's test our hearts. So we must test how much we accept the authority of the Bible. Do we find certain words in the Bible hard to accept? And so we must test. So if we treat the Bible as absolute, and the rest is relative, meaning including our response to the word is also relative. But if the Bible is absolute, then there must be certain commands. So when there are contradictions, for example, the Bible says, no one seeks the Lord. But then yet we observe that some people, they are seeking God, maybe not perfectly, but they are seeking God partially. But the Bible says that no one person seeks God. So what do we do with this contradiction? So from here, if we want to uplift the Bible and exalt the Bible and see it as absolute, then we need to rethink again and re-look at those people who seems to be seeking God and the truth. Now, people who are seeking God, it seems like they are really not bad. They are willing to seek the truth and listen to the message, whether it's Christianity or other faith. They are seeking the truth. And so, such people, perhaps their problem already have, perhaps their life has already certain problems, so they are seeking the truth. But the Bible also says that no one person truly seeks God. Now, the Bible didn't use the word truly. The Bible simply says no one seeks God. So we need to rethink the word of the Bible. Perhaps as they are seeking God, they have other motives and reasons. But the Bible clearly says certain things. And when we go back to the Bible, we will know that what the Bible says in its authority is these people, they had certain areas in which they cannot perfectly seek God. It's because they have sinned and they are not fully cleansed, and they are not cleansed by Christ's blood, and they are not forgiven. So because they have not believed in the Lord, and that's why they are not seeking God. So if they are not seeking God, then we need to go back to their seeking of the truth. And we will realize that as they seek the truth, they are not seeking the real God, but they are seeking things other than God. Because if they are truly seeking God, they will surely end up believing in Christ. They will accept Jesus. Because we will start to have a lot of reasoning. Now, if we do not treat God's word lightly, but treat God's word seriously, and then we look at a seeker, then we will know that the seeker will not be able to find God. So we need to evangelize to him or her, and then we must understand that the seeker will surely have certain misconception and misunderstanding in his circumstances. There's areas in which he cannot accept Christ and he will deny God. There will be areas of rebellion. So from this angle, if we hold on to the authority of the word of the Bible, then we will be able to see if we treat the Bible as one with authority. Now, if someone thinks that the Bible is not enough and you need to add on other explanations, that means he thinks he's smarter than the Bible. He thinks he's cleverer than the Bible. And is that right? Is this fitting with the authority of the Bible? Of course not. So we have to understand this all over again. So no matter what kind of spiritual insights and encounters you have, no matter what, if the Bible has authority, in other words, we need to reconsider, rethink, and we need to view what you have encountered all over again. Because if you treat the Bible as holy and without flaws, and then you come back and look at yourself, you realize that in our circumstances, we may have misunderstanding. We may not have perfect or complete encounter experience. And so the Bible says, may God and His word be true and every one of us a liar. So we know that the essentiality of the Bible tells us that we need to rethink everything about ourselves and our lives. And we need to, based on the Bible, to assess things. And we cannot place our circumstances with the same importance as the Bible. So, the Bible has certain commands, and it's not surprising. And when we accept the Bible's teaching and commands, we know that we cannot treat them lightly because they have their effect, they have their power. And when they have their effect and power, and when we accept them and we keep them, then transformation will take place in our lives. We are sinners. And in the modern culture, we have been encouraged to express our opinions more. Because it's taught that when we express our opinions, we also can demonstrate our thoughts. However, we must know, when we look at the Bible, we cannot merely base it on our circumstances and opinions and let our opinions and circumstances be of the same weight as the Bible. For example, some people say, I don't like the verses in the Bible. But I also cannot say too much. But what we can not say absolutely is, you cannot curse the Bible. You cannot curse the word of the Bible. Because we will not dare to say this. So I'm not saying this coldly or in anyhow fashion. I'm speaking this from a shepherding and pastoral perspective. Because if you have certain thoughts in your hearts, your thoughts will shape you as a believer. So we must be careful in what we believe so that we can be healthy in our body, mind, and soul. And second, the Bible contains far more wisdom, more than what we imagine. So God gave us commands, not because He's God, and so He loves to give commands. It's not just that. It's also not that He wants to affirm that He is God, and so He gives commands. It's also not that He gives commands to restrict us and to show us that we are limited. God is not giving us commands to limit us. But because we are children of God, and being children of God has another meaning. It means that we are the seed of God, and so we have to follow God. And so those who are below God, we are foolish and we cannot fully understand things. And so we must trust and rely on Father God. And that's what it means. Because we are foolish, we are imperfect, and so we are willing to trust our only Father in heaven. So when we obey and accept God's commands, and that's why Jesus said, the heavenly kingdom belongs to children. So of course, Jesus accepts children, but another meaning to this verse is, it means that as far as we are receiving God's word, we must know that we are not so smart, we are not so understanding, and so we need to understand all over again. For example, if you are parents, you realize that sometimes maybe it's you didn't express well or you lack the power to handle certain things. So no matter what, you will command your children, just do it. Do not think about other things, but just do it. Why? Because you know that your child has certain things that he doesn't understand, so he has to do it first. So likewise for God. But God is all-powerful, and that's the difference. But for certain essential things, he must first command us, because then he will be able to impart certain wisdom into our lives. And so from here, we know that God knows how his created beings can lead a blissful life. He is clearer than us on this. He knows how we can live our lives, how do we trust in him, how do we make choices, and that's why he commands us. And just now we also sang hymns. So if we understand this, we will understand the submission, the obedience that the Bible mentions. So the one who obeys will rejoice, will have joy. And so whether it's this life, maybe there's certain science, certain philosophy, certain psychology, they may offer certain wonderful insights. What we can understand is, all these are also from humans. But God most knows the needs of humans because he created humans. And we will also realize that certain theories inferred by the world, in the end outcomes is not as desired as initially thought. But the Bible, not one word of the Bible will be in vain. So we must cherish the words in the Bible, especially if the Bible have certain commands which are hard for us to accept. I urge all of you to rethink, reconsider, and re-understand those verses. So how can we love God and keep his commands? So let's read from the Bible. So, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So here it says, if you love God but you didn't love your brother, how is it possible? How is it possible for God's love to be in you? Then let's read chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of God. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So here again, okay, just now's verses, they mentioned that if we love God, We must test. Do we really love God? So how do we test? Do you love your brother? Do you love His created beings? Do you love His children? Because God also loved them. But here in chapter 5, it says that if we love God, then we can keep His commands. And so here it says that if we know that we love the children of God, then we love God and keep His commandments. So here the chapter 5 says, if we love God and we keep His commands, then we know we love God's children. So it sounds a bit opposite from chapter 4. So we must not be self-deceived, because it's possible that you love God's children but you're not loving God. But yet, it's also possible that you love God but you're not loving your brother. So both are possible. So we must test from all angles. And let's read verse 3, chapter 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And so it tells us here that His commandments are not burdensome. So here it says, if we keep His commandments, it means we love God. So it teaches us important truth. So it tells us here that we need to love God by loving His commands and His laws. So God's word and God's laws are all His words. So God's words also includes His laws. And God's words also includes the explanation to God's law. So other than God's law, God's words comprises His explanations. So many verses contains God's laws. So there's a lot of commandments in His word. So when we receive the word of God, we will see that certain things must happen in our lives. It's not in a cold way or in a passive way, but in a living and active way, God's love is in us. So if we are only afraid, we may be stuck at a level, we just want to fear God, but if we continue to be afraid of God, eventually we will drift from God and we will not want to be near Him and we will not face Him. And when we not face Him, we will not fear Him continuously. So there's something wonderful about fearing God, because it contains obedience. So if you know God, you will want to submit to Him. So loving God happens in obedience to God, because if you love Him, you will not drift from Him. So in the Bible, it tells us to fear God, and that happens when we keep facing God. So in other words, you face God. So you face God not by your feelings, but you keep facing God's words and His commands and His laws, and up to a point, you eventually can obey. And that is what's meant by loving God. And if God's words and commands are so important, then we must consider one thing. That is it possible that we are still saved by works? Are we saved by works? Not by our own works. But you see, God's commandments are so important. And God's commandments are meant to be acted out, carried out. And who can do it? So who is the most perfect person to carry out the word of God? And that is Jesus Christ. So eventually, we are saved by works, but it's not our own works, but the works of Jesus Christ. So we must understand that works, God's commands, cannot be done away with. Because after we believe in Jesus Christ, it is also because of Christ's righteousness that we can come before God. And because of Christ, our guilt has been credited to Him. But because Jesus obeyed God, so we can come before God to receive the complete righteousness. So we must stand on the side of God's commands. So we need to get this right in our thoughts. So you must not think that in the Old Testament, it's all about God's righteousness and justice and God's wrath, and the New Testament only have God's mercy and grace and God's love. This is a great misunderstanding, because both in the New and Old Testament, both talk about His love and His righteousness. And in the New Testament, the peak and climax of the New Testament is the Christ, is the cross of Christ. And so from here, we must understand that God's commands and God's holiness are very important. And they cannot be done away with. And so we will have a question. When we face God's laws and commands and His holy words, then what to do? If you face this fully, you will find it very difficult to face them. So usually the common way for men to cope with this is you must not be guilty, or you must not hold on to your guilt when you face God, because otherwise your guilt will prevent you from facing God. So now you have that guilt. You need to remove the guilt soon. So the human response is to quickly remove the guilt. But we are a bit lacking in this, because when humans only know that they have guilt, the first thing they want to do is to remove the guilt. No matter what means they use, they just want to remove the guilt. They may not use the means of Jesus Christ's forgiveness to remove the guilt. They may not come before Christ to accept His forgiveness. Maybe he also anyhow received the forgiveness of Christ because he just wants to remove his guilt quickly. And so there's certain lacking in this. So when we face the commands of God, we cannot remain in a state of, I don't want to have any guilt and accusations, and I just want to remove all accusations and guilt. We must receive the cleansing of Jesus to be able to stand on the side of God's commands, so that we can face the law and face God's commands. So in other words, up to a point, your faith must be active and actively facing and rejoicing in the laws of God. And you must delight in the laws of God. You must reach that stage. Otherwise, you will drift away from God and so on. You will end up there. So how? What to do? Why did we read about Apostle John saying that God's commands are not burdensome? And he encouraged believers. He said that God's commandments are not burdensome. So let's think about it. Is God's commandments really not burdensome? So, because there is this evil within us, so when we face the commandments of God, the evil will be exposed. So let's read from Romans chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin. Why? Because within sin, and when we face the holy commands of God, How can it be easy for us to keep the laws of God? How can it be easy for us to keep the law of God? So it is not unusual for us to find it hard to keep the commandments of God. But the commandments are unbearable, not from the nature of the law. Commandments are unbearable, not from the nature of the law, but from the corruption of our flesh, because of our sinful nature. But what did David say in Psalms 19, verse 10? David said, "More to be desired are they than gold, yeah, much than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." So this is in reference to God's laws and commands. So from what angle was David speaking about this? David was speaking when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So in David's life, there is one thing which is greater than his sinful nature that can put to death his sinful nature. And so when he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he can overcome his sinful nature, and so he can delight in the law of God. So where God's spirit has renewed, the law is more desirable than gold and sweeter than honey. So Apostle John, what he wanted to say was God's commandments were not cumbersome. So Apostle John was trying to infer that there is the Holy Spirit dwelling within God's children. So if you are truly God's children, and you already received the grace of forgiveness, then how can you be afraid? So we need to turn ourselves around in this area. Why is it that God's commandments are not burdensome, but we face a struggle, and that struggle prompts us to rely on the Spirit of God? But when we rely on God's Spirit, we still fear the law of God, and that, if that's the case, then it's problematic. Indeed, the Bible's words urge us to be strong. Christians, we know that our lives must be moved by God's word. And bit by bit, God's words must be fulfilled in the believer's life. So you need the conviction. So God's word is the Holy Spirit. So when you have conviction from God's word, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's read one more verse. Psalms 130, verse 4. Here it says that, "But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." So just now I already explained. So Psalms 130, verse 3, it talks about God's judgment, and no one can stand before God's judgment. But verse 4 says that in God there is forgiveness so that God may be feared. So just now I already mentioned, if a person only faced God's judgment, and if he didn't receive God's forgiveness of sin, he will endure till he dislike God, and he will drift apart from God, and otherwise he will rebel against God. He will end up in that state. So God must be able to bestow mercy, because without that in our hearts, we will drift apart from God. So as we pray, we need to know. When we face the Word of God, we must understand that we are living under the mercy of God. God is willing for us. I mean, God already given us mercy, and so He allowed us to receive His laws. So, the forgiveness by God the Father enables us to fear His commands. So as I explain one by one, you understand better. So we can come before God's word by Jesus Christ, and but because of the forgiveness of Father God, we can receive God's word, and we know that this word of God is beneficial for us and is giving us wisdom. So when we receive the Word of God, it's not just enduring to submit outwardly, but when we face God's Word directly, and when you accept the Word of God, then we will receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So God's commands and God's laws, they both contain God's mercy, because He's the Father God. And Father God is very merciful. So from here, when we receive the Word of God, it not just show us that we are foolish, but we receive God's word also because God has mercy on us. So when we receive the word of God, the word of God also tells us to reject certain things in the world. We need to live to God and die to the world. So all this comes from Holy Spirit's conviction. So this sounds simple, but in our heart, we need to live this out, and that's not easy. Because when you face the Word of God, how do you put it in your thoughts to think through, to understand God's heart? How do you receive that God's Word contains the work of the Holy Spirit, and we must not dislike God's word, and we must not rebel against the word. We must not be unwilling when we face God's word, or we must not fear when we come to the word of God. We must understand that our struggle comes from our sinful nature, but we, with the Holy Spirit, the moment we understand we have sinned, we will run toward God to be near Him. And when we run to be close to the Holy Spirit, it means that we must run to be close to the Word of God. Because not one area of God's Word is meant to give us fear. And so we must train in this. For me, in the beginning, I lack faith, or I receive some partial teachings. So when I read the Word of God, some words are very difficult for me to receive. This is not the problem with God's Word, but this is this is the problem with your conviction about God's word. And so there's no way we can completely receive the word of God, and without going through training, without being willing to submit to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's why you always cannot understand the Bible, and you always escape from this and not facing it. And that's why to certain words of God, you always cannot face them, and so you keep on getting weak and not growing in Christ. So let me ask you, why did God give His commands? There must be His reasons. And God gave His commandments based on His promises. So God guaranteed that God will surely keep His promise, and that's why He gave the commands. So when we receive the Word of God and we find it very difficult, we must understand that when God gives His commandments, it is also His promise, because He must be able to do it. That's why He gave these commands. So we need to look to the Lord. So we come to the last point. It's harder. So this is what we mentioned at the beginning of the sermon. So how can we obey the commands to rejoice, to thank and praise God? This is a command. So it's hard to understand. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So, two things. So, it's repeated to the command to rejoice was repeated twice. There is a reason for God to tell us to rejoice. Sometimes we just ask, but what to do if we are just troubled? So sometimes we find it hard to understand God's word. And the context of this verse is, this epistle was written by Paul while he was imprisoned. And so while he is going through the persecutions and imprisonment, how can he rejoice? So he surely have encountered this joy. And that's why he wrote this verse, rejoice always. And I say again, rejoice. Because first, precisely because of all these troubles and persecutions from the world, so when we face them, we must quickly rely on the Lord. We must think about God. We must think about joyful things, because there is hope and joy in the Lord. But So far we can understand, but why did the verse repeat the content of asking us to rejoice? Because this thought must be put in your heart, not just once, but repeatedly. So it's not just be joyful a while after God remove your troubles, but this must be our thoughts and thinking. So first, we must give God the rightful honor when we face His commands. Although when we first get in contact with God's word, there will be struggle, because what I want to do, I cannot do, but what I don't want to do, I keep on doing. So this is what Paul said in Romans 7. So Paul said, we must keep remembering God, but how do we remember? So we must be in the Lord. So we must see that God is standing there, not just for a while, but He has been standing there. And God has always been near and with us, with you. So, all along. So, this is in contrary to the joy of this world, because the joy of this world is temporary. But you must have joy. You must praise God. You must rely on God. Why is this the commandment of God? How can you understand this command? You think about it. Did our Lord Jesus go through tribulations on the cross? As He carried His cross, And then he's being hung on the cross. If we also walk the same path as Jesus, we have another kind of joy. Because we are worthy to walk the path of Christ, to go through these tribulations. So rejoice always. I know sometimes we will keep thinking about trying hard to rejoice always with positive thinking or we just proclaim certain things to make us rejoice, but it's not about those things. So it's not trying to put our focus on the joy, but we must know that even in tribulations, it is the will of God. If we can experience this tribulation like Jesus, then we can understand that when we obey in God's will, then God has things for us to learn and God has things to tell us. So we must not give up. When we hear the commands and the laws of God, although in the beginning there may be struggles, Holy Spirit in us will tell us and will surely tell us not to give up what God has spoken to us. There are certain words that are hard to understand and hard to observe. You must not cast them aside. Although you cannot do it back then, but you must remember those words of God and you must quickly go back to the Word of God. And that is believing. You believe, when you believe in the Word of God, that Word of God will help you. And the Holy Spirit enables you to believe. And so you need to train your thoughts, your thinking. When we submit, and when we submit to and obey God's laws, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So after saying so much, finally, the commands in the Bible are designed to renew our minds for transformation. So, in order to transform us, God gave us His Word. Perhaps in our own life, we have our own perspective. Each of us, we have our own personality, situations, conditions, and misunderstandings. Not one of us, we are perfect like God. So how can we be like God, to be so perfect? So we can strive toward perfection. So we obey God's word and commands. We have that action. It's easy for us to see whether we are able to do it, whether we can do it in cheerfully in our heart. So when we find we have a bit of unwillingness to submit, we need to understand God's word better. So we accept God's word for the sake of our heart and will. Because our heart should be used to believe in God, and after believing in God, then you can live it out. So the heart is so important. But how can you train your heart? And that is, you obey whatever God has spoken, and you put God's word in your heart. And you know that Holy Spirit is within God's word. And when you are willing to do it cheerfully, you will find glory. And so glory means you do not take it lightly, but you take it seriously. Recently, I've been reading the book of Job. And so the three friends of Job, in the beginning, they spoke a lot. And they spoke about how infinite God was, and And so they told Job, don't you know how infinite God was? But eventually we see that the three friends of Job was rebuked by God, and God said that they have sinned. And Job, and when God appeared to Job, in fact, God told Job, Job, don't you know that my ways are higher than men? I mean, it sounds as if God spoke in, it seems as if God spoke the similar things as Job's friends. So what's the difference? So sin means you miss the mark. So on a certain point, you just deviate a little bit. You thought you are sound, or but then when there's a slight lacking, that is sin already. So we need to be renewed in our mind and be transformed. So we need to be sanctified in many things. And so in this area, we know when we face the Word of God, when we face the authority of the Bible. Why must we talk about the authority of the Bible? Because the Bible is God brief. We must give it absolute authority. And then we will obey the Word of God. And when we obey it, then our life can be transformed and be healed and be sanctified. So we accept God's Word and obey it, not just as a charitable work, or to satisfy our own heart. But what God wants is our whole heart. Our heart is willing to completely entrust and offer to God in our life, in our ministry. So this is the question that God's words keep asking. So we may not be able to do it, but it's all right. God has mercy. But do not escape, because God has the forgiveness of sin. And since God has forgiveness, come before God right now. Because when you come before God, you have areas to be healed. And then we can be transformed. That's the end of my message today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that through your word, you help us. Although it may be difficult to understand, but God, please help us that in receiving your word, in receiving your commands, we can lay down our insecurities. There are certain things we thought is difficult, or things we are afraid of. But Lord, we ask God to have mercy on us, because whatever you said are meant to give us wisdom, because they are sweeter than honey and better than fine gold. Lord, please help us to be like people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who desire your word, and then their life becomes vibrant. And so through what God, Jesus had done, we come before your righteousness and holiness and your holy words, so that not one word of yours will be in vain, so that we will draw near to you with your words. Lord, please fulfill your words, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.